Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Well, good afternoon. Today is November the 23rd. I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon and happy Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, real quick, favorite Thanksgiving dish.
Oh my goodness, how do I do that?
I'm sorry, I put you on the spot.
I love them all. Oh, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I absolutely love sweet potato casserole.
Yes.
It's got lots of...
Are you marshmallows or no marshmallow person?
No marshmallow, but okay. Lots of nuts on top.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. That's my favorite.
That's one of those side dishes to the meal and dessert
at the same time. It's like the one time where you're like, I can have tons of sugar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
My mom used to make this gravy that would go on both the turkey and the dressing.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm from Texas, and so there was a period where we did not make a turkey. We had like brisket. Oh. I know that was good. And brisket on Thanksgiving is just wonderful. Brisket any time of the day is great, but yeah. So, anyways.
I do know people who don't eat turkey.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but that's all right.
That's cool. Hey, man, I know. It's you traditionalists country. Out there, you got to keep it. Got to keep it traditional.
Thanksgiving week.
Yes, Thanksgiving week.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Yeah, you were talking about that verse in staff meeting. Man, what a... Mm-hmm. There's always something to be thankful for, especially
that's right.
for Jesus and for the Lord. So with that, very thankful for this past Sunday. We were in John chapter 6, beginning that, and I think I talked to you throughout the week, and you kept going, oh, there's a lot here. There's a lot here.
Yes.
So let's start with where you were at on Sunday. Give us a little bit of an overview of where you began, John chapter 6.
And as I said, we're going to do John 6 in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so we started this week. There's three parts to the chapter that we're going to deal with. The first one is the miracle of feeding the multitude with a little bit of bread and fish. The second part is the discourse, they call it, the teaching of Jesus about that, coming off of that miracle, about what that miracle means. It's a sign, so what did it point to? The third part will be the third week of this little mini-series, and that has to do with the reaction of the crowd to Jesus, the response of the disciples to Jesus. So this week we were on the miracle itself, where Jesus is on the mountainside with his disciples, and a big crowd of people come. He lifts up his eyes and looks at them and sees them, sees humans, sees people. And then he knows he's going to perform a miracle.
Yep.
But he wants his disciples to be in on it so they can try to see what he's at on a spiritual level. And so he says, you know, how are we going to feed these people? And they bring two fish and five barley loaves from a boy to Jesus and say, this is all we got, but this isn't enough. You know, what are we going to do? And Jesus then performs a miracle.
Right.
And he multiplies this bread and fish to the point that 5,000 men plus the people with them were able to eat and had food left over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I did was take the miracle. And the reason I did, I wasn't trying to spiritualize the miracle. It was a miracle and it happened. And it showed that Jesus is the Son of God and he has power over nature. And he can multiply food. This is not a problem. If he can create it, he can multiply it.
Yeah,
it's not a problem for him whatsoever. But John itself, like John 6, is actually communicating that Jesus was doing something else beside performing a miracle. He was giving them a sign of who he is as the Son of God. He is the bread of life. So that was that's the point of it. And as I said, we're going to unpack that for the next couple of weeks. But this past Sunday, we were looking at what this miracle would say to us. And we can see here that, you know, Jesus being the bread of life is speaking to a human condition, and that is spiritual starvation, spiritual death, needing the bread of life to be brought to life and sustained in life. But he was also speaking about the inadequacy of human solutions.
Yeah.
You know, this account, this miracle is not about what Jesus can do with a little bit of bread and fish. This is about what Jesus can do when our resources are completely inadequate to do it.
Yeah.
And so, and then it's about Jesus being the one who provides the true solution to the human need, and that is he brings the bread. Yeah. He is the bread of life. We did touch at the end on that little verse that says, when the people saw this, they said this is the prophet who was to come into the world. And then perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So the first result, reaction to the miracle,
yeah,
is they said, oh, here's our guy.
Yeah.
Let's go make him king now.
Yeah.
They were missing what Jesus was trying to say to them on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
And they're seeing a Jesus that will provide for them. And he withdraws.
Yeah.
And the reason he withdrew is not just because it wasn't his time to be king. He is, right, King Jesus. But it's not just because it wasn't his time. It wasn't his time, but that's not really it. He withdrew because he wasn't the type of king,
yeah,
that they wanted him to be,
yeah. Yeah.
That they thought he, yeah, should be for them.
Yeah. Well, it is great, and I'm going to ask you a question about that last point in a,
okay,
moment, mainly about application and how we think. But I loved, Scott, that, you know, 5 was all about these religious leaders that were mad at Jesus for his, mm-hmm, claim about being God.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you're sitting there the whole time reading, like, man, these religious leaders just don't get it. Mm-hmm. And now he's like, well, the crowd didn't always get it either. And,
yeah,
he's now turning to the crowd.
Yeah.
And you kind of get a sense from John that he's trying to point out that they were missing it as well,
yeah, yeah,
in a different way. But let's talk about this type of king. Like, they were experiencing, or the crowd was looking at Jesus to be this type of king, and that wasn't the type,
mm-hmm,
that Jesus was coming to be. As we think, Scott, about our own lives, even as Christians, where have you seen, or how do we try to make Jesus into a different type,
okay,
than what he really came to do?
Yeah.
I think it's very tempting for humans, even if we're in faith, to look, mm-hmm, at Jesus and go, oh, I think he should be doing this,
yeah,
for me or for others.
Yeah.
How do you see that playing out? I know you have a lot of conversations with people. You've been a Christian for a while. So help us, mm-hmm, think through that.
Well, I have a lot of conversations with myself. I think, yeah, often have to correct myself, remind,
right,
myself of what Jesus is about and,
yeah,
what he came to do. And so I certainly don't cast a judgment on others without looking at my own heart. But I
yeah,
think that often we, you know, we want to set Jesus up as king. In other words, we want him to be something for us. That is not exactly what he came to do. So Jesus, you know, he says later, all right, let's just say, put it this way. He says later in John 6, we're going to get there on Sunday, that, you know, he came to do the will of the Father. He came to be the bread of life. Mm-hmm. He came to give us eternal life. He came to do something to our souls, which is reconcile us to God. But I think often we treat him like he's here to make us successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's here to, we kind of strike a deal with Jesus sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, if I do what I'm supposed to do and be a good person, you're supposed to come through for me and not make me suffer, not make me go through hard things.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus can become the person who's here to fix our lives personally, but also fix the world, you know, fix society and all of its brokenness and all the ills of society. And so we follow Jesus toward that end.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is going to rebuke,
mm-hmm,
the crowds when we get to next week, the next part of John 6. Because they were there to get Jesus, they wanted Jesus to give them more food. He said, "You're seeking,
right,
me because you ate the food. Your stomachs were full. Mm-hmm. You want another meal."
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus had become for them the king that was going to provide the next meal.
Right.
And I think I do that, and we do that. Jesus is the king who's going to provide help for me, or, mm-hmm, success for me, or fix the brokenness of my life and of the world,
yeah,
or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
He's going to do something other,
yeah,
than give me the bread,
yeah,
that sustains spiritual life, that,
yeah,
I feed on to know God and be, yeah, reconciled to God.
So that's good. So let me kind of clarify what you just said. So, you know, sometimes we expect Jesus to, you know, fix the brokenness in the world or in our own lives, and maybe we're missing his ultimate purpose. But would you say that in Jesus saving our souls, there's a way to speak into some of that brokenness? I mean,
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? So
I,
like,
do.
Yeah.
I do, and how much time do we have?
I know.
I do, and yeah. So I want to be clear.
Yeah.
So let's put it this way. Yes, Jesus, following Jesus, will, yeah, have and can have a very positive impact on a lot of things.
Yeah, right.
As a follower of Jesus Christ, becoming conformed to his image, pursuing holiness as he is holy.
Yeah.
There are things that are going to be better about my life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it this way. There are things that are better about my life.
Right.
If
yeah.
I had not become a
yeah.
Christian and I had yeah. continued down the path I was going,
yeah.
I can tell you that on a personal level, my life would have been much more destructive
right.
than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus helped me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a different thing.
But that wasn't
thing.
The starting point.
Right. That's a different thing than looking at Jesus as a form of self-help.
Right, right.
The world.
Yeah.
The world is a broken place. And
right.
there are all kinds of ills in our society.
Yeah.
And if people come to faith in genuine faith in Jesus Christ and they are following after Jesus and doing the will of God, then we have to believe that some of the societal ills and problems would be bettered, would be helped.
Right.
Because people are just acting more like Jesus, more
right.
humanely.
Yeah.
But that's different.
Yeah, but it starts at reconciliation to God, being born again. And then affects the outward work.
That's right. That's different than saying we're going to follow Jesus because he's here to fix the world now.
Right.
So that we can turn this world
mm-hmm.
into, you know, the perfect place.
Yeah.
That's not why Jesus came.
Yeah.
Jesus is going to fix the brokenness
right.
of this world, but he's going to do it by bringing in a new world.
Right. Yeah.
That's the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new one coming.
Yes. Yeah.
That is made new by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's understandable.
Yeah.
That, you know, let's take here. Jesus rebukes these people because they're seeking after him, not for the eternal life for their soul, but because they want more food for their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course we would say food is important. Of course
yeah.
we would.
Yeah.
I mean, that's silly to say, well, that's not important if you don't eat, or if we don't help other people, or if other people don't eat. It's not important if we don't do something about poverty.
Yeah.
Well, that's silly. Of course it's important that we
yeah.
do that. But that's a different thing
yeah.
than saying Jesus is just here to give me what I want on a material level.
Right.
Jesus is here to save our souls.
Right. Yeah.
And he makes it very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he reconciles us to God, pardons us of our sins, declares us righteous before God, reconciles us to God, fills us with the Holy Spirit, we're going to live in this world unto his glory.
Yeah.
We've got to make sure that we're not turning Jesus into a kind of king that he's not.
Right. So here's a good question. Maybe we'll end this one question. We'll end here. But as we're like understanding his main purpose is to save us from our sin, reconcile us to God, but we live in a world where it's broken, mm-hmm. even our own personal lives are broken. How do we make sure that we're keeping his purpose, his mission, where it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, just being in our world? Like, how mm-hmm. do we make sure that as we head out and serve the poor, mm-hmm. we're still keeping his purpose
mm-hmm.
to save sinners primary? How mm-hmm. how can we live in that tension, but make yeah. sure we keep it where it needs to be?
I think a lot of ways, but one is just a proper interpretation of the Bible.
Good.
A proper interpretation of the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
And you will hear Jesus say, you know, don't lay up your treasure on earth, lay it up in heaven.
Yeah.
Don't work for the food that perishes. Work for the food that leads to eternal life.
Good. So I'm hearing you say read the Bible, but reading it in its right context, right interpretation.
Exactly. And and then I think continuing to read the Bible.
Yeah.
Because yeah. when you read the Bible about being reconciled to God and the work of grace, mm-hmm. the work of salvation, mm-hmm. You also read the book of James.
Yeah.
That tells us we are to be about ministering to people.
Right.
And serving people.
Yeah.
And bringing goodness to a broken world.
Yeah.
So you read the Bible and interpret it correctly, and you get the priority mission of Jesus. You keep reading the Bible, mm-hmm. and you interpret it correctly, and you understand what it means to live out discipleship.
Yeah.
That would be important.
Yeah.
And I think
being in community definitely
yeah, living
helps.
In the church, yeah. living in the church and yeah. having each other, you know, keep us where we need to be, rooted yeah. and grounded in yeah. the faith.
Yeah.
Those are all helpful things.
Good.
I guess the other thing, I'm trying to figure out how to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I would say is ask the Lord to give you a genuine appreciation for so great a salvation.
That's good. Yeah. I was thinking about that. Yeah.
You know, so I'm talking now on an experiential level. As we have the experience of God's grace in our lives and we truly are taken by mm-hmm. our deep depravity, and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross to atone for our sins. The power of that, of that experience of forgiveness and reconciliation, the power of the meditation on that actually moves us to want to keep King Jesus King in the proper way.
Yeah.
And it actually moves us to want to be the people of the kingdom of God living in a proper way.
Yeah, because you begin to see, I would think, that as you meditate on that truth and that what he has done for us on that soul level, spiritual level, that yes, as we see the physical problems, which, you know, we want to engage, we would understand that this problem down here, the soul problem, was the greatest problem to overcome.
That's right.
And so it doesn't mean that we ignore the physical, but that we understand that that only God can do that. That
Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?
Right.
I think we could also say that people who gain their souls in Christ sometimes have lost the whole world.
Yeah.
But they've gained their soul. They, their soul is right with God. And so we need to preach the gospel and then live as disciples.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, great sermon. We're looking forward to being back in John chapter 6 this week and moving forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.